From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Hundreds of local news television stations in the United States have been found to be parroting identical scripts written for their anchors with a slant favorable to President Donald Trump. Sinclair Broadcasting Group, which owns the stations, has a reputation for conservative-leaning coverage. In fact, Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, revealed in December 2016 that the presidential campaign had struck a deal with Sinclair for favorable coverage. So happy is Trump with the kind of coverage he routinely seems to get as president from Sinclair stations that he tweeted on Tuesday, quote, "The fake news networks, those that knowingly have a sick and biased agenda, are worried about the competition and quality of Sinclair broadcast." How can a sitting president so overtly work in tandem with a powerful broadcasting empire when it is a job of the press to scrutinize power? My guest is Pamela Vogel, a research fellow at Media Matters for America, where she's been following the story. Welcome to the program, Pam.
Thanks for having me on.
So first, as I said, you know, how is it that you can have this kind of a relationship with a president and a broadcasting company? But that said, there's always been, of course, media outlets that have done the service of sitting administrations that have worked in concert with power instead of in opposition to it, or to at least scrutinize it. But have you seen anything like this in recent memory?
No, and I think that's why so many folks are seeing this story now and just getting so upset. It feels like a betrayal, because when you're tuning into any kind of national media outlet, you usually know if they are approaching the news with a particular perspective, or you know the background of the folks that they have on to do commentary. But when it comes to your local news, you don't have that expectation in the same way. So if you're just watching the nightly news, you tune into your local station, it might be ABC 6, CBS 12. It doesn't say that it's owned by Sinclair. There's no Sinclair logo on the screen. So I think part of it is that shift, it's a little bit more of an exploitation of trust, especially because we know that folks tend to trust their local broadcast news more than almost any other source for information that's not partisan.
Right. So it's one thing for Fox News to have its very overt partisan agenda, because you can identify, you know, it has a reputation. People can sort of apply their media literacy skills to take what Fox News says with a grain of salt, or look at it through a particular lens. But you're saying what we're talking about here is these local news television stations that offer the veneer of independence, but are in fact having its anchors read a script sent down to it from up above.
Right. And I think it also represents, frankly, a mistreatment of local journalists. Most Sinclair reporters and anchors are not setting out to, you know, deceive their audiences. They're often parts of the communities that they're serving, and they spend the majority of their time reporting legitimate stories about local events that are happening.
And yet, of course, we have had television networks hand down, or broadcasting companies hand down to their local stations must-run stories that may not necessarily be partisan, but that, and this is a problem that I know organizations like yours and other groups concerned about media consolidation have worried about for years, that you have these cookie-cutter stories that a top-down management at a national headquarters will send to their local stations and force them to run it as if it was a unique, locally produced story.
Right. And one thing that we're seeing, too, is that so Sinclair has a pretty substantial MO for consolidation in the stations they've already acquired recently. And there was one study out of Emory University just last year that showed that when stations transferred ownership to Sinclair, they covered national news with those types of packages and segments that you're talking about at the expense of covering local news.
Let's actually watch the video that was put together online that had been making the rounds of social media for anybody who sort of follows these kinds of issues. This particular video compilation made by an outlet called Deadspin has gone viral. Here is the video just showing how these local anchors were reading the exact same script, specifically warning their audience about what Donald Trump likes to warn everybody about, that the fake news is biased. Here's the video.
Hi, I'm Fox San Antonio's Jessica Headley.
And I'm Ryan Wolf.
Our greatest responsibility is to serve our Treasure Valley communities.
The El Paso, Las Cruces communities.
Eastern Iowa communities.
Mid-Michigan communities.
We are extremely proud of the quality, balanced journalism that CBS 4 News produces.
But
we are concerned about troublemaking and irresponsible one-sided news stories plaguing our country.
The sharing of biased and false news has become all too common on social media. More alarming, some media outlets publish these same fake stories without checking facts first.
The sharing of biased and false
news has become all too common on social media.
More alarming, some media outlets publish these stories simply aren't true without checking facts first. Unfortunately, some members of the media use their platforms to push their own personal bias and agenda to control exactly what people think, and this is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
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 And what you've been watching is many, many TV news anchors from local television stations parroting the exact script. My guest, Pamela Vogel at Media Matters. Pam, of course, hugely ironic that they are bringing up an issue that they are very much a part of, which is the sharing of biased news. Literally, part of the script that they were told to read was the sharing of biased and false news has become all too common on social media. More alarmingly, some media outlets publish those same fake stories. I mean, the irony of what they were saying, you know, with the manner in which it was sent to them to say is just hopefully doesn't escape people. This is very alarming. What did you think when you first saw this compilation?
Right. I mean, I think, you know, they have another line about one-sided stories too, and that one really struck me because, so apart from this type of segment that we're talking about now where it's coming up from the local anchors and they've been handed a script, Sinclair mandates that all of their stations run a couple other must-run segments more regularly. And those must-run segments are both very, like, have a very specific perspective. One is a commentary segment called Bottom Line with Boris that runs almost every weekday, and it's political commentary from a former Trump aide who agrees with Trump on everything. That feels pretty one-sided to me. And they don't have a counter commentary segment at all. So that's sort of the definition of what they're talking about in that script.
So Bottom Line with Boris, literally a mouthpiece of the Trump administration on, and as you said, it's not labeled Sinclair Broadcasting, and I'm guessing he's not identified as a former Trump aide.
He is on their online versions when they post it, but in the actual segments when they air on TV, it will say commentary, but it doesn't give you much context about who he is, except that he is now Sinclair's chief political analyst.
Right, and people watching local television will watch it on their television screens. Most likely, that's where they're getting it. Very rarely, I mean, if you're going to go online, you're probably not going to seek out a local news channel to watch online. You might be more likely to watch something national. So if you're consuming this media, you're likely consuming it through your television set in the sort of traditional way that people consume television news.
Right. And again, if you were to ask him or to ask Sinclair, they would say, well, it's labeled commentary, which is true, but you don't understand who exactly this commentary is coming from. Speaking for myself, I didn't really know who this person was until he started working for Sinclair and it became my job to know. So it's not exactly like a household name where you already kind of know that he's coming from the Trump administration. It just feels very insidious.
And then the other one is the terrorism alerts. That's another must-run segment.
Yes. So those also are produced in the national station here in DC, and they're mandated that all the local stations air those. They are also coming out about every other day, so very frequently. And I watched a year of those segments to try and understand more about what themes were being pushed. And they're very short, only about 90 seconds. And it's usually a reporter standing at a news desk and reading headlines. And the headlines are so vague. They'll say things like, 10 men from Turkey were arrested today in Paris on suspicion of terror-related charges. And that's the whole thing. That's all the context you get. So when you hear really vague headlines like that, where you don't understand as a viewer, is it relevant that they're from Turkey? What were the grounds for the arrests? Was there profiling even? Like, we don't know any of those things. And to hear it over and over again without a ton of context is kind of what propaganda is.
And I'm guessing, since you've watched a year's worth of these, I'm guessing that you probably didn't see any news of mass shootings by white men as part of the terrorism alerts?
No, we saw, I think I saw throughout an entire year, no mention of Charlottesville, for example. Mm. There was one mention of a few arrests in England, I believe, of several members of the military there who were suspected of being members of a far right group. That's the only mention we had of any sort of white nationalist based terror.
Now, going back to over a year, December 2016, just a month after the election and about a month before Trump was inaugurated, Jared Kushner just straight up openly told the public, or he said it publicly and then it was reported, that there was an agreement between Donald Trump's presidential campaign and Sinclair Broadcast Group to get better media coverage of the campaign. Now, they claim that they offered Hillary Clinton the same deal, but she chose to not take it. What do you make of this? Like, even this should have been massive headline news.
Right. I mean, and to some extent, access journalism does happen. They said that no money exchanged hands, so the deal was they would give them some exclusive interviews with Trump without commentary. So they're just going to run the interviews with no context. And in exchange, they would have, you know, they would have more access to him as a candidate.
And that's okay as long as the equal time rule is respected? Is that accurate?
Yeah. So ethically, it's fine. But I think what's important is the context. So this isn't the only thing we've heard where about Trump having a very direct interaction with Sinclair, or with Trump's FCC having a really direct action with Sinclair. So about a year ago, after Trump took office, he was able to appoint a new chair to the FCC, creating a Republican majority of that commission. And almost immediately, that FCC began to roll back rules and reinstate old rules in a way that benefited Sinclair almost exclusively. And we know, too, that I just want to make sure I have the dates right here. We know that the new chairman of the FCC that was appointed to the FCC by Obama but made chair by Trump,
Ajit
we know
Pai.
He met with Sinclair executives the day before he became chair.
Wow. So, and then of course, Trump makes this very favorable tweet about Sinclair just earlier this week. He's saying Sinclair is far superior to CNN. It's basically you scratch my back, I scratch yours, it seems like, between this broadcasting corporation, which is a for-profit corporation that stands to make a lot of money through any regulation or deregulation that the Trump administration puts forward, and the Trump administration, which benefits from basically having a media mouthpiece in the living rooms of ordinary Americans.
Right. And I think going back to your rhetorical question at the beginning, how does this stand? I think we're hoping that that question might be answered soon, because the FCC is now internally investigating all of those relationships to try and understand if anything unethical took place. So even as Sinclair is continuing to try and expand, they're looking to purchase 42 more stations from Tribune Media, which would allow them to expand from battleground states and mid-sized cities where they're mostly concentrated now into some of the hugest, largest media markets in the country. We're waiting to hear if the FCC internally thinks that that's okay, or if there are some sort of unethical things that have happened that might make that deal less possible.
So essentially, this company, seeing that it has a, you know, this wonderful relationship in the White House, is in the process of expanding, is in the process of growing their footprint. Both of these things are going to be mutually beneficial. As it expands, the president gets more favorable coverage and more homes. And as his policies benefit this corporation, they stand to make more money. This reminds me of George Orwell's 1984, where you have, you know, Big Brother having a megaphone into the homes of people and being able to put forward, you know, the propaganda that benefits him. This is not how democracy is supposed to work.
Yeah, it's pretty enraging to see. And I think that's why folks are so upset by seeing this video, because Sinclair has thrived by being under the radar for so long. And now people are learning what the name Sinclair means, and they're learning about their relationship with Trump. And that's kind of probably bad for business for them. So I think the bare minimum is that it's a great opportunity to learn who owns your local stations, because the reality is it's probably not clear just from watching on TV at night on the screen.
The Washington Post did a really good analysis earlier this week of the areas where Sinclair stations are clustered and the areas where Trump, you know, won biggest in his election. And the article entitled Red America already had broad overlap between Sinclair and Trump. So essentially, I guess it might be hard to tease out whether, you know, we've heard a lot about Cambridge Analytica and Facebook, but what role did Sinclair Broadcasting play in pushing a line that helped elect Trump to president? Is that something that also needs to be investigated?
I mean, I think you're right that it's a little bit, it's challenging to know exactly what role they played. But what is noticeable now as we're going into 2018 midterms is that, again, they're trying to expand. And a lot of the places where you see sort of toss-up races around the country, Sinclair either already owns and operates stations nearby, or they're looking to purchase stations nearby. And that, look, if you look, you know, at lists that compare that, it's pretty jarring. So I think that 2018 could be an opportunity to understand a little bit more what those relationships are and to take a closer look at how those stations are covering races where any little thing could make a huge difference.
Well, Pam, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Give out a website for Media Matters.
Yes, mediamatters.org.
We'll post a link to that from our site later today. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Pamela Vogel is a research fellow at Media Matters. We've been discussing how Sinclair Broadcasting Group and the U.S. president are working in concert with one another. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find out more about us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.